Hello guys, welcome to the Blackspin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to the final episode for the US Open.
Can't believe it, we're here.
Done. How are you feeling?
Tired, but I'm a lot of emotions, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm going to miss it. It's been fun though. But yeah, nah, just a great experience, man. What about you?
It was like you said, it was a lot because obviously it was our first time, not only just being here as media, but as like ever. So it was a thing of like having to take in the Open itself, having to take in the Open as media people. So it was a lot, but definitely one of the best experiences. I think, you know, the players seeing us as well, people seeing us, whether it was listeners as well. Shout out to everyone who pulled up on us.
That was brilliant. That was awesome.
Yeah, there wasn't a day where there wasn't someone who didn't come up to us, whether it was someone from the ground, like a staff or like fans and stuff. So especially that a lot of our listeners are from the US, especially New York as well. It definitely felt good. But yeah, it was a great experience. I mean, US Open is my favorite slam. Although I feel like this slam was a little bit, aside from obviously the key moments and the things that we spoke about, overall, I felt like it was a little bit anticlimactic, which is weird because the US Open, to me, is so lively and so many things that you get so many great matches, but I don't know.
What was anticlimactic about it?
I feel like, well, one, we can't ignore the fact that when you have some of the big players knocked out the first week, you know, it makes that difference.
I think that, on the men's side, I thought that made it more exciting, to be honest.
No, it made it more exciting, but the issue is, I feel like after that, like the matches where some of those big players got knocked out were great, but after that, it just got, except of some matches, like obviously like the France's matches. But yeah, I don't know, like I think also the atmosphere at the US Open was very different. I expected more because I see more craziness from the outside on TV. So when I was there, I kind of felt like, oh, okay. Like even the, I don't want to say too much because we will talk about it, but even the Fritz and Francis match,
semi-final.
I know, like, it's two young Americans, semi-final, they're going to be the next big thing. I thought the crowd will be going crazy every single minute.
I thought we had that more in the third round with
Shelton. It was weird.
That's because of the players, like, as in who they are as players.
I actually have a theory other than that, to be honest.
What's the theory, Lucy?
And I think it's because third round tickets are cheaper.
Interesting, yeah.
So you have real tennis fans. Semi-finals is when the big ballers, the rich people are pulling up, and you know they like to act sophisticated and nice and all that. I hear it, but listen, if you're rich people are gonna pull up, please give some energy, boy. All that money that you're spending, I know, is nothing to you, but you know,
it's a good point.
Do you get what I mean? But it doesn't take away the fact that it was still fun. It was the last Grand Slam of the year, so it's still big. The atmosphere is still completely different. It was one of the greatest experiences ever, and I love how, I think we take for granted as tennis fans, how we get complete different vibes each, so many times in one year. Like football fans, which I'm talking about soccer, is the same shit in terms of like the atmosphere. Do you get what I mean? But when it comes to tennis, you're hearing a whole different language, a whole different surface, a whole different vibe. Like Wimbledon and the US Open are different. French and the US Open are different. So yeah, but either way, it was such a great time, and yeah, honestly.
The last time he podded, I think it was, I can't remember the actual day now, but
it was day 8 and 9.
Okay. So yeah, we were on the grounds for the mixed doubles final, which is what we're going to talk about first. So shouts out to Taylor Townsend and Dawnwood Young, who finished runners up. They were beaten by the Italian third seed Sara Rani and Andrea Vavasori. It was an entertaining match, Lucy. Like, it was straight sets, I think 7-6, 7-5 to the Italians. But like, I thought it was like a good advert for like doubles, just showing like the variations in terms of like playing styles. And just, yeah, like there were real differences like between the teams, like, and I think that made for like a good match.
Yeah.
One thing I made note of, like when we were watching, it was Irani's serve, like, because yeah, obviously she's quite short.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not really paid much attention. I don't think I've seen her in person in terms of a live match of hers.
Yeah, me either.
So this was like a first for me. But yeah, it was just fascinating to see like her ball toss. Like she literally always ends up throwing the ball like behind her.
Mm-hmm.
So it just looks like, it looks quite awkward.
Yeah,
but
she does.
She does manage to reach it.
It was funny watching her serve.
And I also like kind of noticed like it rarely goes above like 76 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. So light.
Like,
but
it's like 70, sometimes even in the 60s. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just funny, but it's effective.
Yeah. Because sometimes they were hitting errors back.
This is the thing. And obviously she was broken the most. I don't think I've ever saw he wasn't broken at all for the whole match. But Irani was. I think she was broken like maybe two times or possibly three times. Mm. So like for me that was like an obvious kind of, I don't know, target in terms of for Townsend and Young to kind of like target the Irani serve. But credit to the Italian, like she was able to pretty much hold for most of the match. Anything like what did anything stand out to you like in particular, like from that match?
I think for me what was interesting that first set, like both teams were holding serve to like 5-5. Like
exactly,
it was
very
like intense and stuff. But it was fun. It was great seeing them play. I think that was actually my first time in person watching like full proper mixed doubles.
Yeah, same.
So that was definitely a fun experience. But yeah, honestly, they were a great team. I think for me, what stood out is how Sarah and Taylor were the boss of each of the teams.
Yeah.
And the men were just there like, yes, captain. Like, they were green. Like, they were not, you know. I saw it more with Young, with other matches before the final, where, like, literally Taylor was just like, you know. But she did say in her press, like, I don't care. I'm going to tell him, like, you know. But it's great to see that, you know, how bad she wanted it for them as well. And especially that this was his last, you know, match ever as a professional tennis player. So, yeah, like it was unfortunate they didn't win, but again, they did play against, you know, like you said, seeded players.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Irani has been in a crazy run. I think she's also trying to close her chapter soon properly, and it's great to see, you know, she won gold medals just recently with Jasmine Paolini, and now she's won mixed doubles Grand Slam. I think it's really dope for her to be doing that. It's not easy. I mean, she's done it all in terms of, like, you know, doubles especially, so it was always going to be a tough one for them, but it was a nice farewell for Young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he had like a little ceremony at the end.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, because obviously he hasn't won like, you know, crazy titles and stuff, I think some people underestimate the impact he's made to black players.
Huge,
in general.
Yeah,
like anytime a black player talks about, you know, inspiration or
Black American player anyway.
Black American players. You know, they always mention, obviously, Venus and Serena, but Donna Young is also always included, especially the men as well. Like, you always hear them, you know, mentioning Donna Young some way. So a big shout out to Donna Young. Fantastic career. I feel like at times the biggest win is the impact that you make.
Yeah.
And he's done that. So, yeah, it was dope for that. And it was dope for him to do that with someone that he's known for so long. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, well said. Because, again, like, I feel the same way. Like, of course, it's unfortunate to lose
but that's a
final,
great way.
But at the same time, to go out in a final and not, like,
exactly
an earlier round.
Earlier like, round, injured.
I think most people kind of take that in terms of to end your career.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, that was one of the questions that was put to him in the post-match press conference, and this is what he had to say on that.
Yeah, I guess I've been thinking about it for a while, and it's kind of been, you know, what it was. And I asked Taylor, and you know, she said yes, and I kind of had already. So I've done my little crying like at home thinking about it and, you know, gotten emotional. But it was such an exciting moment as well, you know, to, you know, maybe if we'd have got whooped up first round, it'd have been a little more emotional. Like, but, you know, we made it to the final and we had a chance, you know, it was a few points here or there. So in that sense, I was pretty happy and proud and, you know, that we were able to go that far and do that well. And it kind of made me feel good about how I was able to go out. So I was, it wasn't as emotional. And watching all my family and friends there, it was more exciting than anything.
So yeah, that, well, definitely shouts out to Young, man. It would be great to have him on the pod at some point. So that's something we need to work on, Lucy.
For sure.
We all also need to shout out Townsend because she kept it real during the trophy presentation. Basically just acknowledging the fact that, yeah, she was the only black woman standing at that time.
Yeah.
And just talking about like the impact and the importance of like representation, like in pro tennis, it got such a like weird kind of reaction on social media, which wasn't surprising, but like quite disappointing. Some of the stuff I saw, and it just shows that like, yeah, we still have a ways to go, like in terms of
facts.
Do you get me? Just facts. Kind of highlighting the importance of, yeah, like black influence. I say influence. Just black involvement in the sport. And I love how Coco, she acknowledged Coco Gauff being, you know, the previous champion from last year. TFO being a semi-finalist, like, and obviously talking about her and Young as well, like in a final, like it's a huge look. And I feel like it's only something that we're going to continue to keep on seeing, which is something we always say like on the pod as well. Like there are so many black players coming through and it's just great to see.
Yeah, no, honestly, I think for me it was... The thing is, regarding like people's like reaction, I think what threw me off is how they were saying like, okay, she's saying this while she is on Arthur Ashe, you know, a stadium name, the biggest stadium in the US Open's name after a black man, and you guys have Serena and Venus. And it was kind of like, you guys have enough. Don't want any more.
Completely missing the
like,
point.
Yeah, they're like, this is like they're telling us, be grateful with the fact that you even have this. And it made me so angry. Like, literally, I had to like just put my phone like away because I was just like, it's just ridiculous. And to me, in a way, it actually even made me even more excited because it's like, oh, you guys are not even prepared what's going to happen, because the way these black players are growing is insane. The more we have more players playing into it, but it just shows to you like, and that's what I said on my personal account. I was like, some of you are privileged enough to not understand how important that message that she sent, because you don't have to worry about representation. Your face, your people are everywhere, you know, and the reason why we are where we are is because your people don't want us there, you know. And we'll be talking about money, saying, oh yeah, but Serena's you know, she had the most money right now. Yeah, because she won. But when she started her career, are we all forgetting what happened? She literally skipped a tournament for decades because of racism that she faced. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, it was just, you know, so I love Taylor for being so loud about her blackness and being a black woman, and seeing how people were irritated, for me is like, you know, we need more of that. So I'm really happy that, you know, Taylor did not shy away from saying that. You could see how uncomfortable the others were, but hey, we wouldn't be in this position if you guys didn't ice them out, you
facts
know? So yeah, so shout out to Taylor and Young.
Also, shouts out to Taylor too, because this was her second consecutive.
That's true. That's true.
Grand Slam doubles final.
That's true. That's
so
true.
That needs to be acknowledged.
Yeah, for sure.
And she did reach the semifinals.
Yeah.
In women's doubles with Katerina Siniakova.
Yeah, they gave us some very good matches. I feel like everyone in doubles were really like. The opponents were trying their best
and
to beat them.
I also feel like there's some good personality, especially in women's doubles. There's some really good personalities, like Kitchenok, Ostapenko. They're quite fun.
Yeah, not for sure.
They ended up winning. They beat Milenkovic.
Yeah,
and the Chinese guy.
And I think one of them was supposed to have their wedding.
Yeah, Kitchenok. Yeah, exactly.
Which is so cool. Mm. Like, but it's just crazy how, you know, life works. You're thinking, oh, you know what? Let me just plan a wedding there. You're not going to make it. And look, you know, I mean, hey, I guess this was even probably even better than their wedding. I mean, but yeah, congrats to them for sure. That must be one of their best weeks ever. Like, imagine, like, you're getting married, you're getting your Grand Slam and then you're getting married shortly after. Like, that's just such a
special
blessing.
Definitely.
Yeah, shout out to them. And
before we move on, like, we did go, well, I went to their press conferences in Townsend and Young, and I did ask Townsend, like, just how special it was, like, to kind of play with Young, considering the, you know, obviously the history and stuff, and like obviously being a friend and like, yeah, and this is what she said.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, when he asked me to play, I told him that it would be an honor for me to play, and knowing that it was the last, you know, tournament, and for me, I wouldn't change anything. It was fantastic. I mean, I played with Layla all of last year, so I was used to being on the same side as a lefty, and you know, it worked to our advantage a lot of the times with the sun, and I messed up a couple times because I'm like, oh shit, that was your forehand, I shouldn't have taken that. So you know, it's like getting used to that type of thing, switching sides, playing different sides. So It's always amazing. And, you know, for me, Donald and I, we go so far back, I mean, in life in general. So, you know, it's not the end. We both live in Atlanta, so I'm going to see him a ton and, you know, follow what he's doing in the next chapter. But it's cool to be able to close the book this way. And again, being able to leave here with some hardware when a lot of people didn't. That's the most special thing. And so, I mean, it's fantastic. And I'm glad to be able to do it by his side.
So yeah, just a great way to like close the chapter for Young. And honestly, Lucy too, like for me, it felt nostalgic because, not to like make this about me, but quickly anyway, when I was a player, Young was the junior world number one. Like when I was playing juniors.
Mm-hmm.
And he was someone I definitely looked up to and thought, bloody hell, like this is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like seeing him, because I think at the time he won like Wimbledon and the Australian Open, and he was the world number one junior, and I remember one time we saw him at Wimbledon, and I was like, I was actually in awe of him, like just seeing him like live in the flesh. But yeah, like he's such a nice guy, like everyone speaks highly of him.
Mm-hmm.
And just yeah, he's had a solid career, man. Mm-hmm. So good luck to him.
Sure.
And like I said, hopefully we can get him on the pod soon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to the men's semi-final, Lucy. That Friday.
Let's do it.
Took me a minute to get over, man.
Yeah.
So 20th seed Francis Tiafoe versus 12th seed Taylor Fritz, the All-American affair.
Mm-hmm.
What a match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spend too much time going like set by set, but just in terms of moments, I thought Tiafoe... They both started, I thought, quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Tiafoe took the first set.
Mm-hmm.
But you could argue and say that Fritz was playing just as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think afterwards he did say that he was a bit more tighter than Francis.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, I guess, nerves. Yeah. And then he kind of settled in later on.
Yeah.
The second set, Fritz took it. And then Francis took the third. Guys, we're kind of going by this quite quickly, but I kind of want to get to the main point. So there was, in that third set, Tiafoe, he kind of had all the kind of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, wow, like, okay, we're nearly there.
Yeah.
and in the fourth, there was that long rally and that kind of changed everything.
Yeah. There was quite a few, like, I feel like the fourth set was definitely the most intense out of the entire match, because it's like, you know,
tension,
like, if he bags this, that's it, he wins, and if he doesn't bag it, you know, it's going to a fifth. So like, it was tension from like both of them, but yeah, it was a lot. I remember that rally where it's like, you know, even Francis at the end was like, oh, you know what, you could just have it. But I thought it was more of like, okay, I'm not going to waste too much of my energy for this. you know, only to find out that it was more than that, you know. But credits to Fritz, because he really, really, really defended well during that time. And he upped his level the most, and he took advantage of, you know, Tiafoe just not really being there.
Kind of breaking down a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, yeah, fair enough, Ross wasn't playing his best at that time, but Fritz could have just still been doing the bare minimum, but he upped that level quickly. Yeah. And there and then, like, the second he knew that he cracked, he was like, this is it, this is my window. And he took a very good advantage of that. So I can't even take that away from him. But yeah, it's funny because I generally thought that it was fatigue for Francis, because he was the better player in that match. He was using more energy, but in a very smart way, you know. So I thought the rallies were too much for him, because obviously, again, he was the one that was playing better. So, you know, he was doing a lot. Especially how it just quickly, you know, just went down. Like, he lost that set through errors and double faults. Like, he was literally serving, it was just going to double faults. He went to double fault when Taylor broke in and took that set. And then when he went to, and when that happened, because I said to myself, if he loses like this, that set, in that way, that's it.
It's tough.
Fritz is winning this match. And that's what happened at the end. And I have to say, with the way that Francis was playing, I generally did not expect it at all. I really thought this was our moment. You know, this was our moment to actually, like, get this. And everyone wanted it as well. Like, the crowd was definitely more for Tiafoe than Fritz.
Because I thought at the start it was weird. Like, because obviously being two Americans, you could understand the kind of split.
Yeah.
Loyalty or whatever.
I mean, but
I did think Tiafoe had the majority of the crowd.
No. He 100% did. He definitely did. Even towards the end, despite him losing, because people were even starting to leave when he lost that fourth set, which he even noticed, because he mentioned it in, you know, I mean, aside from the fact that it was late, you know, like, people are there to see Big Fur. At the end of the day, you know, Francis is
the main event.
Yeah, exactly. And that's no disrespect to Fritz at all. Fritz is a very reserved guy. He really keeps to himself. His girl is even more popular than him at times. You get what I mean? Whereas Francis, he has a whole package. And I think that's why people are behind it, because it's like, if you win this, you know, this is going to be big for the sport. Like, the day that Tiafoe wins a Grand Slam, we are taking over tennis. And what I mean, I'm talking about the black people, like, it's going to go to a whole other level. It's just that impact, just same way that impact that Serena had. You know, Serena did not have that impact just because she was winning those 23 guys, but it was just like the fact that, you know, she was that black person who won it, and it brought so many people into it.
It was bigger than the sport.
We make stuff cool. Like, they don't get it twisted.
It was bigger than the sport.
Shout out to everyone, but black people make stuff cool. We are the trendsetters. So, you know, I'm not saying tennis is not popular. Like, tennis has been very popular this year, especially, which is one of the reasons why I think there was a lot of people on the grounds. It's not just because, you know, it's US Open, but, like, people are interested. They want to come. But then when you have someone who's entertaining and cool and everything, it's like, oh, shoot, Tiafoe won the Grand Slam. Let me get into tennis. So, but aside from that, this doesn't take away the amazing tournament that Tiafoe had. Mm. Like, heartbroken, but super proud, because, mate, the way the season was going for Francis, and then get to the American Swing, you know, quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, and then make it all the way to the semifinals at the US Open is big. And it's not like he did it easy. Like, he was on the court longer than Fritz, which is one of the reasons why I thought he was tired. He was on the court, I think, 3 hours more than Fritz.
Yeah.
So
that's another thing I wanted to say as well. Like, exactly, his run compared to Fritz.
Completely different.
From the third round onwards, basically, he was playing, like, guys that were just elite. So, like, Shelton third round, that's crazy.
And that was five sets.
For me, that was probably my favorite match of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the fourth round, it was Popperin who'd beat Novak. So he's basically in the form of his life, the Australian. TFO sees him off in four.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the quarterfinal, it was Grigor Dimitrov, again, having the, probably the season of his life. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. And again, TFO saw him off. It was a retirement from Dimitrov. But mm-hmm. And we said this as well, like after that Dimitrov match, like mm-hmm. kind of round after round, TFO has just been upping the level. And yeah. like, that's why for the Fritz match, even though the head-to-head was like horribly in Fritz's, I think it was 6-1 in Fritz's favor, mm-hmm. I still felt like TFO was the favorite. And oh, yeah, and the way he started the match, like I was like, okay, he's gonna do this.
Yeah,
I even fought straight sets, Lucy, to be honest, when he took that first set. And in the second too, he was the stronger player. He kind of did wobble a bit.
Nah, because I feel like despite him being the best player, I feel like it was still very tight.
It was tight, still definitely.
Like I couldn't even till the fourth set, the way he was starting, like who was even going to still win it?
I was confident pretty much throughout. It was just after that rally in that fourth set, I was like, okay, here, something's happened here. And it, like we've established, like it wasn't physical, it was more mental. And he did clarify, impress, mm-hmm. which we'll come on to a bit later on, but we'll say in a minute. But yeah, like you said, take nothing away from like the run, like because it was a huge moment. And I was more than anything, I was just gutted for him, because compared to 2022 when he played Alcaraz, he wasn't really expected, like, he wasn't really, yeah, he wasn't the favorite in that match.
Yeah,
whereas
against
Fritz, even though he was seeded below Fritz, I think people were expecting him to win. And I 100%. Think he even probably expected to win himself.
But that, hence why that pressure came in.
And this is it. And that's why, that's kind of what you spoke about. And like we've said so many times, Lucy, like this sport in general was a crazy thing. But tennis, like,
it's just crazy because you're alone on that court.
And the way momentum can just change, like, mm-hmm. in a second. And that's exactly what happened. Like, and credit to Fritz, like you said, like, he wasn't even playing, like, his best tennis. He hasn't played his best tennis all tournament. And he kind of said that too after, I'm giving away here, obviously you know the result now, but he said all tournament, he's just been playing solid tennis. Like, he's not been playing, like, out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good enough to see him through to a final. And yeah, finish runner up ultimately.
Mm.
But that for me also is like reason to be excited for or about men's tennis at the moment, because
sure.
you've got a lot of players. Obviously, for Alcaraz sure. and Sinner are the two main guys.
Mm.
Like, they've cleaned up all the slams this year, which is great. But yeah, they're young, quality players, but there's also players like below them that can challenge them.
Yeah.
And for me, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, yeah, should we get on to what Francis was saying? So, impress afterwards. I always like, not that I don't like it, it's difficult for me, definitely, to like go to a press conference when a player's lost, because it's like, yeah, what do you say to them, basically? And like, but credit to Francis, like he was as upbeat as he could have been.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, he was asked basically like, yeah, like kind of what happened, like in terms of in that fifth set. And this is what he said.
It's tough. It's really, really tough. Really, really tough swallow. This one's going to hurt really, really bad. I mean, I thought I was a better player for sure tonight. I think, but then in the fourth, just out of nowhere, just had like some in and out cramps. I just felt, you know, like my body, you kind of shut down on me. I don't know, like, probably had a lot to do with nerves. I wasn't tired at all. Just, you know, about to get into the final. You know, I've probably the closest I was. Obviously, when I played Alcaraz, I was kind of hanging for dear life to go five. You know, here I was really in a position to win. And, you know, probably with the year I had and to be, it was almost able to be in that position. I've been feeling unbelievable physically. But also, I mean, it could be a testament to how many matches I've played in a short time, and I haven't played that many matches all year like that. I mean, but ultimately, yeah, I think nerves got the better of me tonight, and yeah, kind of just went down. It's kind of like a similar thing with Alcaraz and Novak that year, the French. It kind of seems like the same thing, just couldn't really move. And but you got to tip your hat to Taylor. He stayed with it. He competed, and he deserved it tonight. So all the best to him in the final.
So yeah, I really admire that, the fact that he was like just so honest, basically. And just said, yeah, like nerves pretty much got the better of him, and he was kind of getting ahead of himself a bit, like in that four thinking, wow, like I'm a set away from a slam. Like, it's just, it was crazy, man. Mm-hmm. So mad.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like how he was basically talking about like looking ahead, like he wants to basically finish the season strong.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah, it's the last Grand Slam, but the season's still here.
Exactly.
Like, you know, he can still like go far and stuff, and that's all I want. I think that's what I was worried about after the loss. Like, I was scared that he'll get a lot into his head, but he's actually cool.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually like really cool and stuff. Like, of course he's gutted, which makes sense, but I'm glad that he's not letting it take over in his head like too much, because that means that he can continue that same momentum. Like, just continue that. Like, if he continues to play the way that he's been playing this tournament, mate, we'll clear. Most importantly, it shows that he has it like in him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a great player. So shout out to him. Shout out to David Witt. You know, they started working well, really together. I from the look of it, it's going to be a great partnership. Mm. And yeah, I just wanted to keep on seeing that same tennis that we've been seeing.
For me, this is the best I've seen him, Lucy.
So mm-hmm. I'm 100%.
I'm very excited for like 100%. Yeah, what the future holds. And I feel like, obviously with age too, like he's just more mature. Like, he knows he knows himself better. He knows his body better.
Mm.
And that's why I said as well, like in that fifth set, I was like, he's not physically like struggling. Like, his body rarely fails him. It was something else, and it was mental.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say he was a bit fatigued as well, but it was more so the mental kind of, I guess, element that kind of got to him the most.
Mm.
But yeah, just an incredible run, man. And he's up now four spots in the world ranking. So he was 20th in the world,
yeah,
and now he's 16th. So that's what, six spots away from his career high, which was 10. So trending in the right directions, man.
For sure.
And yeah, we hope that continues this season. While we're on the men, let's talk about the men's final. So Jannik Sinner ended up beating Fritz in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4, 7-5. I didn't watch one ball of that match, Lucy. I'm not going to lie to you. But I don't think it was a massive surprise.
I mean, I already knew that it was going to be straight sets to Sinner.
Mm.
Like, I already knew. And I think that's another reason why I wanted Francis to get through the final, because it was like,
it would have been more of a challenge.
Exactly. So I said to myself, even if Francis doesn't win, like, this would still be really worth it, because you would get a good men's final, you would get more eyes on the final. Like, do you get what I mean? Like, we'll get a finals match. We wouldn't get, you know, something that where we know on paper what it's going to be like. I feel like those are the best type of matches. Even if Francis was nervous, we would have still had like some nice shots and stuff, but yeah, I mean, congrats to Sinner. I think being able to win a slam with everything that's been going on is impressive.
Second one of the year as well.
Yeah, second one of the year. However, you know, it's going to be tough on him, because it might bring more eyes and more comments and stuff. So, which is why I said, you know, I don't know if I said it on the pod or not, but I do remember saying anyways, like, if he wins a slam, it might be long for him because of, you know, how people will view it. But then, you know, someone else did say on Twitter, like, at the same time, because I think I tweeted it and someone did reply and say, at the same time, it actually will be a good look on him, because it's like, hey, whether these allegations are up or not, or whether you really do think I cheat or not, I'm still winning.
Mm.
Because, you know, now he's clear and stuff. So, yeah, but at the end of the day, no one still beat him. So,
no, massive credit to him, definitely.
It is what it is. Like you said, second Grand Slam, another one for him. Yeah, shout out to Sinner. We also had the women's final,
which I did watch, actually. So
Sabalenka and Pegula, my pick versus your pick.
Crazy.
Credit to us for getting that.
I was going
to
say, that's what I'm saying. We know ball, man. We know ball.
We know ball. Don't get it twisted, guys. Well, Black Spain, but we know our stuff. As I predicted, straight sets for Sabalenka.
Did you say straight sets? Damn.
Yes. I knew she was going to flog Pegula, man, respectfully.
Bro, Pegula could have got a set.
Listen, we're talking about someone who... Sabalenka on paper should have won anyways, regardless. She was there literally last year. She was so close. She's won her second Grand Slam this year at Australian Open. Like, it was written. Like,
3-time Grand Slam champion now.
Yeah, a 3-time Grand Slam champion. And you know what, Eugene? This made me think. Igor has 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And from my recollection, they're all clay.
No, she got US.
She got one US Open, 3 clay.
Mm-hmm.
Sabalenka got 3 hardcore. Is everyone going to keep the same energy as the way they kept it for Naomi Osaka?
What do you mean?
Because when Osaka won her 4th Grand Slam, after that, everyone was telling her they were going at her for being only great on hard court. So if Sabalenka wins her 4th Grand Slam on hard court, is the smoke going to be the same? If Iga wins another Grand Slam and is RG, is the smoke going
to
be the
We'll have to wait and see.
Stay tuned and see. Yeah. Just start thinking. Like, it clicked into my mind yesterday because I was happy for Sabalenka. I love Sabalenka. I think she's a great player. She's great to watch. And I'm really happy she got to win her slam, especially that she was out for so long and then came back, you know. She skipped Wimbledon and everything and then came back straight. Like, it just shows you that she's a different type of a player. But, yeah, you know, you guys like to move the goalposts for the black players and the white players. So just keep that in mind. But just know that if you guys try to do that, yeah, I'm not having it, because you guys were cooking Osaka for so long, saying she's won only her Grand Slam for like hardcore, blah, blah, blah.
I think that argument is more valid for Sabalenka more so than Iga, because Iga
at least has on hard. I get it, but I'm not having it though. Let's see what happens. I'm not having it though. She will have to. Iga for me will have to win another one again. I don't care if it's like, you know, but it is what it is. But we'll see. But shout out to the champions either way. Oh, shout out to Sabalenka. That fit that she had on when she was taking pictures with her trophy. Sorry, she looked so good. Oh my gosh, that red dress, 10 out of 10.
She's proper into the fashion.
She is a fashion. She will get her Birkins, her bags, and her nat. Like, that was probably dope. Like, we have not had such a nice outfit on a tennis, on a tennis player in such a long time.
Who for you had the best fit? So let's go women first.
Women, I will say Coco for me, the day one.
Oh, that sky blue.
Yeah. Yes. I liked, my thing is with Osaka is that I like how loud it was. I like the fact that everyone was talking about it. I love the jacket and everything. I wasn't a fan of the style personally, but I like the fact that I like the way that it just came up together with the hair and the shoes. She had a day and a night, and you know, it was just loud. And so I wish the material was a bit different, but I think that material was probably needed for, you know, her playing and stuff.
Men,
I'm gonna go for either Francis or Eubanks. The colours were really well put together. That was really, really nice. But yeah, I think Francis for sure. The purple was definitely nice. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's hard to go against Coco, to be honest. Yeah. Like you said, that the day kit was really nice.
Mm-hmm. It would have been Robin Montgomery as well.
Ah, feeler.
The feeler one, because Emma Navarro had it on and it was not given as much as when Robin had it on. Mm. Respectfully, obviously no disrespect at all, but yeah, it was I felt like it was much nicer on Montgomery for sure.
I was surprised Francis didn't have like a night kit, as in a night session kit, because he just wore the same thing day and night. For me, he can make anything look good.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually like Shelton's.
The on.
I did like it. Yeah.
Okay.
The because they love a, what do you call it? What do they call that pattern? The with the paint.
Okay, yeah.
There's an actual term for it. Escape me, guys. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but yeah, I think he really wears that on shit really well.
I think out all of the on stuff that they've had, that was definitely the best one on Shelton. I think it looks better on Shelton than Igor.
Because yeah, now Caboli, the Italian Caboli, he's also ons now.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. But it wasn't my fave. But it did look nice. That was his best, but it wasn't my personal fave. But I can see why you would like it.
Fair enough.
For sure.
And then also, again, this isn't in the notes, but Honey Deuce or Pimm's?
Honey Deuce or Pimm's? Good question.
Because I'm not a drinker, but that Honey Deuce is hitting.
Your reaction, yeah, was so funny. Like, you were like, oh, this is actually really nice.
You can't really taste the alcohol for me. That's what I like about it.
Do you know what? I'm going to go for Pimm's.
Really?
Yeah. Because
such an alcoholic. I'm sorry. Absolutely. I didn't mean that.
Oh, gosh. No. I'm going to go for Pimm's because the thing is with Pimm's is that I feel like you can really take your time to drink it and enjoy it.
Mm.
I feel like with Honey Deuce, you really need to drink it like fast to enjoy it. I feel like it's not as good when you're like
sipping
stuff. And that is why people be waved. Mm. But I feel like Pimm's is very refreshing. It's gin, it's lemonade. So it's very like refreshing and stuff. Like you're drinking it, you're catching a vibe.
So what is in the Honey Deuce then? It's vodka and what?
Honey Deuce is vodka. So I've not checked the ingredients actually. But it's not as refreshing as Pimm's for sure. I feel like Pimm's is just like, you know, and Pimm's is made out of gin and I don't even like gin.
Mm.
So it's very crazy. And then again, I'll pick gin over vodka any day. Vodka is crazy, but you don't really taste the vodka like that. But yeah, I feel like it's sweeter. It's not, it gives you that summer vibe when it comes to Pimm's. So yeah, what about you?
I'm going Honey Deuce.
Is it?
Yeah. No hesitation. Give me some Honey Deuces. I'm annoyed though, I didn't get a cup, Lucy.
Yeah. Next time you'll drink with me. Next time, you guys, I had my first Honey Deuce like on the Shelton and Tiafema because I was gassed, I was happy. I was like, F it, like this is the perfect time. And I got my cup. But we had our Honey Deuce together on the semi-finals day, and because obviously it's so busy, it was funny because downstairs we were like, why are the bar queues like so long? I thought it's just so many people, but come to find out is that when you go to the bars that's literally on in Ash, they were only given the plastic cups. And I find it crazy that you still get charged $23 when you're using a plastic cup.
That is ridiculous.
And then on top of that, you ask me for a tip.
For me, that's crazy. That's been probably the biggest downer like of this experience, just how expensive
I totally understand why you lot cooked me
insane
when I said the how prices. Expensive Wimbledon is. I am never complaining again in
listen
my
Wimbledon life. Is still expensive.
Wimbledon is expensive, but
yeah, the US Open is another level. Yeah,
at least with Wimbledon, for example, the ticket, you're paying for that. You're not paying, the ticket alone is so expensive, but that's a whole nother ball game. But when you're there, and the thing is, you can't even, at least with Wimbledon for instance, bro, I can come with a big bag of alcohol. Well, okay, not a big bag, but like of food. Yeah, but I can still bring my booze. You can bring Prosecco. You just can't bring spirits.
Are you not allowed to bring drinks here?
No.
Really?
No. I think you're even only allowed for like water or something, if I'm correct. Yeah, I don't think you can even bring
I know,
food
I know they're quite
outside.
Strict with like how many bags you allow.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
one
but
bag
no, you
per
can't
person.
Bring food and drinks. They want you to spend your money in there, boy.
That's
whereas
mad.
Wimbledon, we can bring up, like, you can go Wimbledon and not eat any of the food that's there. Like, bring your own stuff. And even the alcohol, you can bring drinks. The alcohol, you can bring either wine or, like, Prosecco. But you can't bring, like, hard liquor, like, spirit, like, Ray and Nephew, Henny, and all that.
Douce. Favourite match? I think we
France's and Ben, for sure. Think for women, for me, women, I will say it wasn't necessarily the match, but it was more seeing Osaka playing so well against Ostapenko. There was also a Coco's match, the one that was before Emma Navarro. Let me double check.
What about I thought you said Paulini Andreescu.
Paulini. See, I was thinking, I was like, there's one match Andrea took me, but I could not remember.
Yeah, you were actually there
that
for
was
that.
The one. Yes, Paulini Andreescu for sure. 100%. That's my favourite women's match. Yeah, scrap everything else. My favourite men's match was 100% Francis and Ben. Women's match was definitely Paulini Andreescu. That first set was fire. Andreescu, I need you to
come back.
To come back, man. Be in good health, be in good shape. I feel like that's been so exciting this season so far, seeing how well she's been. Like, the matches she's been giving us, like, when she's playing, like, you know, her best and stuff. Mm. But 100%. And that was, like, first round.
Yeah, nuts.
First round. That was 100% one of my favourite, like, my favourite WTA
a player, matches. A player that stood out for you.
Player that stood out
other
for
than,
me.
Other than Francis TFO. Other
than, good one. Other than Francis TFO, definitely Gabriel Jalou.
Yeah,
100,000%, especially his match against Arthur.
Well, yeah, that was another highlight, yeah, actually. 100%. Yeah.
Even when he was playing against Tommy, the fact that he played on Louis Armstrong and
took Tommy to four.
Yeah, took Tommy to four. 100%. That was definitely. I'm gonna be so real. I didn't think he would make it like that far, but for him to do that
as a qualifier too, as a qualifier, huge.
That's
look.
What I'm saying. Exactly.
Shouts out to Jalou. 100%.
Yeah. So I would say definitely out of that.
And he's on the brink of cracking top 100. I think he's 103 now.
Crazy.
So career high.
Crazy.
Three spots out of top 100. Yeah. So only a matter of time.
And in terms of WTA players, I will say definitely Coco. Because coming into this tournament, she was not playing her best.
And the pressure.
And
yeah.
The pressure, of course. But the fact that she was playing, her mental was just great during that time. It was a match against Fitalina, that's it. That was a match I was really impressed by.
Yeah.
With Coco, yeah. But that was
on Ash. That was on Ash,
Yeah. I think she played on Ash the entire time.
Yeah, no, she, yeah.
Come on.
Champ, defending champ.
Defending champ, put some respect. Coco, come on. I'm trying to think if there was another player, like WTA player. But I think for now, top of my head, that's all I can like. I was impressed by Mukova for sure. Because I don't watch her as much.
Yeah.
So to me, watching her, because she played against, you know, the players that we cover. So I watched some of her matches and I was really enjoying it, for sure. But yeah, what about you?
Yeah, Shelton TFO for the men, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jalou Feast, that was also a cracker.
Yeah.
Women, ooh. I'm probably going to go Coco Citadina as well, you know, to be boring. But yeah, it was because yeah, Slitina won that opening set,
uh-huh.
and yeah, Coco just showed that like fighting spirit and grit that she has to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And you make a good point too about the pressure coming in because yeah, so many eyes on her, and the form wasn't great coming in, but yeah, she was able to make the fourth round. Like, so shouts out to her, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also another match actually was. Difference a doubles match. It was Asia Muhammad Watson and Taylor Townsend.
Yeah,
that match was it was a really good
that
doubles
was three
match.
Sets.
Yeah, that was really good. Even the people, I remember people even on Twitter saying like, "Oh yeah, shoot, like this is actually a very good match. It was intense." So yeah, shout out to the girls for that match. That was great.
And lastly, like personal moments, like because to me there are a few people I want to mention. So it was great meeting Stacey China.
For sure.
In person. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Stacey China and New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And like obviously our listeners too didn't get everybody's names, but it was just so nice. Like
for sure.
Catherine, I think she was first week from London. We spoke about her on a few of the pods.
Mm-hmm.
Had a few... You had a fan take a picture of you. Feast Jalou match.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah. You don't have to say that, but yeah.
Which is very cute.
I mean, when I said you don't have to say that, it's just like obviously I'm still shy and stuff. Like, it's actually crazy.
Shy. Relax.
Like, raw. Like I'm just out here chatting. Like I'm just hearing it. Like, but no, honestly, like I said, it meant a lot, and it's definitely been like very motivational. Like I'm personally. Leaving the US Open and New York, very motivated,
like energized.
Energized. Same. Looking forward to the future.
And also, Lucy, shouts out to us. And you, I'm going to shout you out now because the work you've put in.
Thank you.
So Chris Eubanks as well. Massive shout out to him.
Yeah,
obviously
for
you guys
sure.
have obviously seen the interview
check out
that
we've
done. If you haven't, please
yeah,
do.
For sure.
But yeah, to kind of get that all arranged, like it was a very short turnaround.
Very, because we got approved literally at 10 p.m. before the interview.
This is what I'm saying.
So we had to find a studio.
all of like the kind of planning and stuff that went into it. Like, it takes a lot. And to do that like mid in the middle of a slam.
Yeah.
Like, Lucy, I'm very proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Honestly.
Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
But and I just think for us in general too, like, this has been a, it's just been a great experience and a massive like learning experience as well. Like, we've learned a lot.
For sure.
And I think for next year, like, I'm very excited looking ahead to 2025.
Likewise.
I don't know if you have any kind of closing words.
No, man. The only thing that I have is just to say, guys, tennis is not over. You know, we still have some things coming up. So even right now, there's a Jasmine Open in Tunisia. The only black player that's there as of right now is Alicia Parks. She's playing as we speak. She did lose the first set, but she might lose the second set.
Who's she playing?
It's kind of tight. British player Miyazaki. Yanina. Yeah, Miyazaki. But she's also playing doubles anyway. So even she loses that singles set, she's playing doubles anyway.
And who's she playing doubles with?
She is playing doubles with, I think, of an American player, Shang.
Okay.
And there's also, obviously, Guadalajara.
Mexico. Love Mexico.
That's
another destination. We need to get that on the... we need to get to Mexico, Lucy, at some point.
Hey, tequila, tacos, and tennis. That's what I need, mate. We have Sasha Vickery, Stevens, and also Hayley Baptiste. Nice. They're all playing literally today.
And that's a 500, isn't it? WTA 500.
That is a 500, yes, a big sir. One. But yeah, those are what is on for now. Obviously, some of them are going to head off to Asia soon.
There's also Labour Cup, Davis Cup as well.
Davis Cup, yeah. So yeah, it's not done. Man. It's not done, guys. So yeah, enjoy your little break. But tennis is still on, and obviously, keep an eye on our socials, for like daily updates. We might be a little bit late as we need to catch our flights. Shout out to New York. I love the city.
Shout out to Brooklyn,
so
man.
So gonna come back.
Shout out to Brooklyn.
Shout out to our Airbnb host. She's not gonna hear this, but she was a real one.
Legend.
Yeah, she was a real one. But yeah, I loved New York, man. Like, yeah, really loved this place. But thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you guys for tuning in for the whole US Open. I hope you guys enjoyed the coverage. We hope you guys enjoyed the pod and the interview. And don't forget to get your merch as well. BlackSpeakGlobal.com.
I keep posting pictures as well. You like
for
yeah,
sure, yeah.
It.
When
love
you guys
that.
Get it, honestly, tag us, take pictures, join the gang. Let us see you drip. but yeah, thank you guys. And we shall see you soon for a brand new episode.
Take care, guys.